Well, all right. I'd like to talk to you about how that the families of the righteous are blessed. And I want to just say to you that the promises for household salvation are for those who are accounted righteous through their faith in the true Jesus of the Bible. Obviously, some people worship another Jesus, and we call that Antichrist, so you don't get a lot of benefits for that. They're all bad anyway. That faith that we have in him and his promises includes believing for our families, you know. Those who walk in willful disobedience have no sacrifice and are not righteous, according to Hebrews 10:26. So there's no benefits there. So anybody doing any of that should repent quickly, because you're going to suffer for it. Okay. The promises are for he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. Yeah, so we need to repent and believe in all that you know of scripture. And don't let anybody talk you out of it, because that's where you're imputed righteousness, because you believe all of the scriptures. Don't let men take it away from you. And believing the scriptures, of course, is so that your family has a covering. If you are accounted as righteous, your family, and you believe God, then you are accounted righteous, and you have this covering. They have this covering too. Make these verses that I want to share with you personal to you and your family, because God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. But he is a respecter of the faithful who are called righteous. Remember, he said in Mark 11:23-24, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. So don't forget, you, the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, and you have authority over all the power of the devil and his underlings, all the way down to the humans that he uses. But also, verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever. Does that cover your family? I guess so, especially with all the verses I'm going to show you. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So these verses, we're going to post them, you know, but pray these verses in faith for your family, and demand that the devil loose their eyes, cease from blinding them, cease from binding them in the name of Jesus, okay? And I just went through the Bible, actually, and picked out some. I know there's a lot more, but I'm just going to do this fairly quickly, so... Genesis 6:18, the Lord said, I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Notice his whole family is coming in, because God established his covenant with Noah, his whole family. And thou shalt come into the ark with your family. And Genesis 7:1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Thee. What about the family? They've got a covering because of Noah. We'll find that out. So remember this. You know that you have authority over those demons that are destroying your family and bringing them. There's a purpose in all of the curse. The curse drives people to believe in the Lord to get out from under it, right? And the benefits of the kingdom are written in the Word. If you don't want them, like a lot of Christians don't seem to want them, then you don't get them. It's that simple. Genesis 12:7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. We've been promised a land. And I know that this is the same situation here, you know. So Genesis 13:15 says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after forever. Excuse me, forever. And to thy seed forever. Wow, that's an awesome benefit for just being his children, right? And Genesis 17 and 7 says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. So there he's going to make a covenant with them, right? And thy seed after thee. And it's all because of him. He was righteous, you see, throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land of thy sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Well, now, you know that our land is a multiple parable there. This life that we, the spiritual man, lives in is the land we've been given and our seed have been given, and also other physical lands that we have been given, we've been given. We actually, along, are joint heirs with Christ of this earth. So, that's what the word says. Genesis 18 and 19, for I have known him to the end that he may command his children and his household after him. Command? Yeah, Mark 11 and 23. Command. That they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, to the end that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. All right. And meditate on these verses. The God wouldn't have said it this many times if he didn't believe it. So, Genesis 19 and 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whomsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out to the place. Well, he was favoring them to come out, right? And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters that are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. But he lingered, and the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. He was even a little stubborn, wasn't he? And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Of course, he probably didn't know Abraham was out there praying for him, and God heard him. And that's part of it, too. So, isn't God good? Genesis 21 and 13. And also of the son of the handmaid will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Wow, isn't that something? Genesis 26 and 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. Now, the blessing is the very opposite of all the cursings, right? You have to remember that Jesus became accursed for us so we could have Abraham's blessings. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swear unto Abraham, thy father, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these lands, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, of course, because the seed went forth throughout all the earth, the seed preaches the same gospel, and of course people receive, and you too could be a father of a multitude, as Abraham means, right? Abram meant high father, and when he got a new name, it was father of a multitude. So every time anybody addressed Abraham, they were saying, hey, father of a multitude. And he was, because his seed went forth throughout all the earth, and of course ours can do that too. It doesn't have to be a physical seed, it can be the spiritual seed, right? A multitude. And 24 says, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Wow, so it even passed on down from generation to generation. The same promise was true to them for their children, right? Oh, glory to God. And Exodus 12 and 26. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passeth over the houses of the children of Israel. Israel was Jacob, right? But passed over their houses of the children of Israel. And praise the Lord. In Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. Oh God, isn't God good? He gives us such favor. And the problem is, he's given us such favor that a lot of people don't even know about it. We have an article, a teaching on the site, The Children of the Righteous Are Blessed. I believe that's what it is. It's something like that. Oh, they are saved. And it's what the Bible says, by faith, and you have to accept it by faith, right? Leviticus 26 and 44. And yet, for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors. Notice that. I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations. Now, he'd already told their ancestors, we've already read that, that he would bless their children. So now he's keeping that promise. Right? That I may be their God, and I am the Lord. Oh, praise you, Father. Ain't God good. Deuteronomy 4:37, and because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out with his presence, with his great power out of Egypt. Well, don't forget that is true of your children too. Pray these words, you know, when you read each one of these, you know, you pray them. You command them. You command it to be done. And there's a revival coming, and it's going to take them. It's going to get them. Deuteronomy 6 and 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Yep, they might go astray for a while, folks, but you just keep on believing. Don't get double-minded. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. Speak faith. Don't curse them. Don't speak the things you see. Speak the things you know are true. Even remind them and tell them that because you are chosen, that you have authority to pray and believe for them, and you're doing it. Deuteronomy 10 and 15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all peoples, as at this day. Oh, glory to God. So you, Christian, you who walk by faith in Jesus Christ, you who are counted righteous because you believe the word of God, you have this benefit. And Deuteronomy 12 and 28, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee. There it is again, forever. And when thou, you see, it's a forever thing. It's an eternal life thing, right? And when thou doest that which is good and right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. So when you do what's right, he makes this promise. Then you have to believe this promise. Right? Because if you don't believe it, you don't get it. Okay? No promise from God is automatic. It's all based on you believing it. Deuteronomy 18 and 5. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So because he is chosen, his sons are chosen too. And of course, this is not the only choosing. I mean, there are many different ministries, of course, that God has, and he can pass on those ministries to the children. Lots of times, moms who prophesy have girls that prophesy, you know, and lots of times men who have different ministries, the same thing, passed on. Okay, it's not that they might not go astray some to where in between, but the Lord corrects them and brings them back by your faith. Deuteronomy 30 and 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. Oh, thank you, Father, for putting that love in all of our children, all of our seed, our wives, our husbands who have gone their own way. Lord, we thank you for doing it. 1 Kings 11 and 13. Howbeit, I will not rend away all of the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son, for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So because David was faithful, God didn't take all of the kingdom away. He left them a kingdom, right? And 1 Kings 15 and 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Oh, praise you, Father. Psalm 37 and 26. All the day long he dealeth graciously and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. A person who is generous meets the needs of people around him, gives of themselves for others, their seed is blessed. Psalm 102 and 28. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. The children of thy servants, that is those that serve the Lord, not themselves, not just play the little religious game and go home and do their own thing, but the ones who serve the Lord. The children of that person will continue. Psalm 103:17. The loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. Okay, so you got at least grandchildren there, but it goes a lot further than that too. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his precepts to do them. Amen. But he can circumcise their hearts so that they do that. That's what he just got through saying. You just pray and believe. Let God do the work, right? Don't try to force them. Don't try to show them their ugly face in the mirror constantly. When you talk to them, talk kindly to them. Don't judge those that are without, the Bible says. Don't judge them. Just tell them, well, you know, son, the things you're doing, they're bringing all this judgment upon you. But I'm believing for you, and I know you're going to be saved, and you're going to be blessed, and I know it's already done because I believe I have received. All right? Or whatever. But just pray and believe. Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Right? Mm-hmm. Psalm 112 and 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The generation, their children, and children, and children's children. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Amen. Psalm 115 and 14. The Lord increaseth you more and more, you and your children. Blessed are ye of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He's in control of it all. He'll increase you and your children. Don't forget that. Keep speaking it. Don't doubt. Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Think not that man shall receive anything of the Lord, right? Psalm 144:11. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens, whose mouth speaketh deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And when our sons shall be as plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters are as cornerstones hewn after the fashion of a palace. That sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, Proverbs 3 and 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Now, you know who the wicked are. It doesn't matter if they call themselves Christians. If they're wicked, they're wicked. The curse of the Lord is in their house. And wickedness just means they do wickedness. They do not obey the word. They do their own thing. Okay? But he blesseth the habitation of the righteous. He blesses the habitation of the righteous. You claim that. You claim that. Especially in these days that are coming. I knew a brother that he was going into the wilderness. He bought him a tent. I says, well, if that's what you want, that's what you can have. And I grinned at him. And he took that tent back because he didn't want that. He wanted something better than that. He blesses the habitation of the righteous. Proverbs 11:21. Though hand join in hand, the evil man shall not be unpunished. It's not going to happen. How many evil people, they can join themselves together. They love to do that to come against the righteous. And they think they're more righteous if there are other people agreeing with them. But it's not so. He'll just punish them, all of them. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Thank you, Father. Proverbs 12:7. The wicked are overthrown and are not. Again, wicked is as wicked does, right? But the house of the righteous shall stand. The house. He's talking about his family. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Yeah, whatever you pass on to your children, you know that they're going to pass on to their children, not just physically, but spiritually. It's going to be passed on. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. His children shall have a place of refuge. In God awesome. If you don't know about your children being in a refuge, I'm talking about the refuge of Jesus Christ, of course, and any other kind of refuge, too, that comes because of that, they will have a refuge. Proverbs 20:7. A righteous man that walketh in his integrity. I know a lot of Christians that don't walk in integrity. They don't keep their word. If they say they're going to do something, they don't do it. You make a deal with them, they don't keep to it. They'll, you know, manipulate and twist things to their own advantage. But he says the person that walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, that's great. Like some you say, well, sometimes in between they go astray. Yep, because God needs to humble them, you know, and make them appreciate salvation. They think just because mom and daddy got it, they got it. And they can do what they want. But there's no ticket there, right? Okay, so Isaiah 44:3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and streams upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. There you go. They're going to get filled with the spirit. And my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Amen. Isaiah 49 and 25, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Have you got children in captivity? Well, the Lord says he's going to loose them and bring them out. But you got to believe it. Don't get fearful because of what you see them doing. Don't do that. That's not faith. You're just being double-minded. Go back and believe. Repent. Ask the Lord to deliver you from unbelief and fear and doubt. And go back and believe. Isaiah 54 and 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Oh, praise the Lord. He'll take care of your children. If you walk in righteousness, and you hold fast the covenant of the Lord, he'll take care of your children. Jeremiah 31 and 16, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. They shall come again from the land of the enemy. That's Rachel's children, right? And there is hope for thy latter end, says the Lord, and thy children shall come again to their own border. They've been taken captive to the enemy's land, but the Lord says he's going to deliver them. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah 32 and 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from following them to do them good. And I will put my fear in their hearts, that they may not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. You hold fast to the Lord. You repent of everything you know that you're neglectful of or sins of commission. You repent, you walk righteous before the Lord, you believe God for your own deliverance, because that's imputed righteousness, and you believe God for them, and God will do it. Jeremiah 30 and 20, their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Amen. Jeremiah 32 and 39, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. So what he gives to the fathers and moms, he will pass on to the children, because fathers and moms are righteous before God, walk before God, he will take care of the children. Believe it, though. You must believe it. Confess it. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father, he says. Right? Jeremiah 46 and 27. But fear not thou, O Jacob, my servant, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. All right. God will deliver them out of captivity. Captivity to the devil, captivity to foreigners, captivity to their flesh, captivity to whatever. And Jacob shall return and shall be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. In Joel 2 and 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Amen. God promised to gift your children. Have you prayed over your children? I've prayed over my children and seen God give them gifts. You know, he's true to his word. Malachi 4 and 6. And the greatest gift, of course, he can give them is a heart to know him, a desire to run after him. Malachi 4, 6 says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Is there a problem between the fathers and the children? I'd say so. Many children are hurt and bruised and wounded because of what their fathers did to them or said to them. Children are very impressionable. I can't tell you how many people I know about that are under rejection because their fathers overcorrected them or mothers overcorrected them or didn't show them love, and they're hurt. They need deliverance now. And the heart of the children to their fathers. Amen. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Acts 2 and 38. And Peter said unto them, repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now what? Well, verse 39, for to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. Acts 16 and 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. Household salvation. You think he's a respecter of persons, or would he say that to you? No. He says the same to you, as we see from the beginning of the Bible up until now. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. 1 Corinthians 7 and 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother. Else were your children unclean. Because they would be the mixed multitude, wouldn't they? A believer and a non-believer. But now are they holy. So what God is saying is he will give favor to the husband or wife of a believer. And of course, I know that everybody has the same battles. You start out believing and they do such stupid things. Well, it's because they don't know God. They're a victim. Stop looking upon them as someone who is against you when really it's just the devil that's against you. They need deliverance. If you were walking in their shoes, you'd be doing just what they're doing. If you had no more faith than they've got, you'd be doing just what they're doing. That's what you're there for. You give them faith. You pray for them. You believe for them. You speak faith into their heart. You sow that seed into them, okay? But now are they holy? Now are they holy? Well, I'm going to repeat this one, 1 Corinthians 7 and 14. The unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife. That is for a believing wife. one who is accounted righteous. One is walking in the ways that we've talked about already. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother. Okay, the brother being, of course, the believer. You must believe. And you must repent of willful disobedience so that you have benefits of the kingdom. You have no benefits of the kingdom if you don't, because if you don't forgive others, God will turn you over to the tormentors. How is that a benefit of the kingdom? You know, Jesus said, my Father will turn you over to the tormentors till you pay what was due. If you don't forgive from the heart, you've got no benefits, nor your children. Can't tell you how many people I saw, you know, turned over to the devil of faction. And their children went to pot in a hurry. I've never seen it fail. That's because the children don't have any benefits either. You warn them, you tell them it's going to happen, they do it anyway because it's down in their heart. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. They're holy because of the believer. They're accounted as holy because they have a covering because of the believer in the household. Ephesians 6 and 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. This is a big problem. Provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and the admonition of the Lord. When you chasten them, make sure you do it through love. And make sure you whip them so that they know they've been whooped. Because they have to learn the fear of mom and daddy so they can learn the fear of the Lord. But you do it in love. You don't do it in anger. And you don't provoke them by not showing them any love. And you don't provoke them by speaking down to them, by rejecting them, by speaking the curse upon them because you are walking by sight. Don't do it. You know, the righteous as well as their families have a wonderful deliverance from spiritual prison to look forward to. This is a dream that was given to Vanessa Weeks on 6-4 and 16. And we called it Prison Doors Open. On May the 20th, 2016, it was May the 20th. That's just when she sent it, May the 4th. Okay. In a dream, I saw a rectangular gray prison. Then there was an earthquake and the prison doors opened. And the prisoner came out. All who saw them said the quake did them no harm, but only helped them. Well, okay, so we can see here that this is a possible quake. We know that we've heard it's going to bring revival in the land. And many people are going to come into revival because of these quakes. They're going to hit this land. And so she said, this reminded me of Acts 5 and 19. But an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go ye and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Also Acts 16:25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands loosed. Wow. An awesome spiritual revelation there, I believe. And she says, this is exciting. The Lord will open the prison doors soon. And I praise you, Father. And, you know, I say that even though the brethren in our morning prayer meeting didn't know of this revelation, they received by faith at random verses to pray about that were confirmations of this coming out of prison thing. And this was the next morning. And this is Sue's, Mark 5 and 15. Mark 5 and 1 says, and they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he was come out of the boat, straightway there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no man could any more bind him, and no, not with a chain, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and no man had strength to tame him. And always, night and day, in the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. Poor soul, didn't know what he was doing, did he? Was turned over to devil, you know. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him and cried out with a loud voice. He saith, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not. For he said unto him, Come forth, thou unclean spirit, out of the man. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he saith unto him, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there on the mountainside a great herd of swine feeding. And they besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And he gave them leave. And the unclean spirits came out and entered into the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep into the sea, in number about 2,000. And they were drowned in the sea. And they that fed them fled, and told it in the city, and in the country. And they came to see what it was that had come to pass. And they come to Jesus, and behold, him that was possessed with demons, sitting, clothed in his right mind, even him that had the legion. And they were afraid. Yes, I know. You know, thinking on all the people in bondage, I asked the Lord that day when she sent this. Actually, I didn't know it. I didn't read it. But I said, when she sent this, I asked the Lord, I said, Can you tell me anything about how soon you're coming? And I was meaning coming in the man-child reformer ministries to set the captives free. And I heard, of course, Isaiah 61:1-3, which says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This is going to be the ministry of the man-child, as it was in Jesus. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And the Lord is coming to set the captives free, right? And then I got this verse for a confirmation. I got it by faith at random. Ezekiel 39:25-29. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Now will I bring back the captivity of Jacob. There you go, out of prison. And have mercy upon the whole house of Israel. And I will be jealous for my holy name. And they shall bear their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they shall dwell securely in their land, and none shall make them afraid. And when I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, in that I caused them to go into captivity among the nations, and have gathered them unto their own land, that is the promised land. And I will leave none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, says the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Oh, praise you, Father. And also, Don received this same way, Acts 28:20-22. And for this cause, therefore, did I entreat you to see and to speak with me, for because of the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters from Judea concerning thee, nor did any of the brethren come hither and report or speak any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, it is known to us that everywhere it is spoken against. And as you know, the Lord had him write so much of the word when he was bound and ultimately delivered him. Leon. Leon had this, Genesis 40:4, 40:1-4. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against his two officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, and the place whereof Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he ministered unto them, and they continued a season in ward. Okay, but Joseph, as you know, was delivered out of prison, and that's the first prisoner that's going to be released is the man-child. And, of course, he spoke to those who were children of God who were in there and brought them out, just like Jesus, who went and speak to the spirits in prison, you know, and brought them out. So there's we just got this over and over. And that was the very next day after receiving this dream here. And God's going to set the captives free. This is what he's saying. That's why he's reminding us of it in so many ways. Some of them are more spiritual and some of them are more physical, but he's going to do it. In the name of Jesus. A mighty, mighty move of God's Spirit to set the captives free, right? And here's another very interesting thing that Vanessa sent us. It's about the roller coaster fall. And she said, Barry and Julia and I went to a fun place for the day not far from our house. There was a roller coaster, and I got on it. And after it started to go, I was scared, and I thought, why did I get on here? Now, I hate the drops. And so in her dream, she said, it went up and up very high, and I started to pray that God would get me through it because I knew it was about to drop. That sounds like an economic crash, doesn't it? Kind of at the time of the earthquakes, which we've received in dreams already many times. And when it got right at the top, it stopped. And the person running the ride said, get out. Very unusual. This seems to be that the righteous will get out of the falling, right? The falling economy and get into God's wilderness economy, which there is no drop, right? His promise is true all the time. So she said, I got off the ride and there was a door which I went into, and at the same time a woman from that room came out and got in the seat that I had been in. And then I woke up. And when I told my husband about this dream, he said it reminded him of Isaiah 43 and 4. Yeah, me too. I'll put it in context here. 43 and 1 says, But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine, and your children too, by the way. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And I have given Egypt as thy ransom. That's a price that you pay in order to set someone else free, right? I've given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. And this is the verse that they received, since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead and peoples instead of thy life. Yes, he's going to have a demonstration of the wicked, of what happens to the wicked, and he's also going to have grace and mercy on those whom he has redeemed. Vanessa said, I'm amazed that the Lord would give me this dream. He is showing me that we are precious to him, and he is in control of our circumstances. Yeah, and what came to me was Psalm 91 and 8, only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Yes, Lord, that'll give you the fear of the Lord without destroying you, because you see it, this judgment, and you see many people taken away. People think that's not my God. You know, well, you need to go back and look at the God of the New Testament and find out if he is your God, because if you got a false God, you may not get your prayers answered. Okay? You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who wrote the Bible. Right? So, God will bring your children out of their spiritual prisons, and he wants your faith. And he will keep them from the roller coaster fall. He will send people in their stead. Isn't that good? You can believe for your children. God is all these blessings that we spoke through these words that we looked at, and many more, are true. Meditate on them until you have a right heart concerning them, and get unbelief off your shoulder and fear and doubt away, and rebuke them, and put your trust in the Lord, and hold fast your confession, so that what you confess before men is what your high priest Jesus is going to confess before the Father. We have a high priest, and we have to speak the same as he says, you know. So, Father, we thank you so much for having mercy upon our families. Husbands, wives, children, yes, even grandparents, anybody else in our household, even, you know, yes. And the people we pray for as friends around us, too, Lord. We know that because of our prayers, you said all things whatsoever. So we believe it, Lord. We believe that you're answering our prayers even as we speak. But we agree with you in speaking in agreement with your promises. We're counted righteous because we believe your promises, Lord, and faith without works is dead. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Father, we thank you for helping us to confess you before men. Boldly speak it out so that it actually comes to pass. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mighty power. In the name of Jesus. I'm remembering how we've prayed for people and agreed that they were saved one day and seen them get saved the next. Yeah, and spoke it. We spoke their salvation. We spoke their deliverance and saw it happen the next. Many people don't do that. They only speak what they see. They walk by sight. They don't walk by faith. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not yet seen. It's the substance. God, you want God to build this thing for you, but you won't give him the substance, you know. Speak faith. Speak faith. Believe it and speak it. Correct your mouth, and when you speak things that are according to the curse, go to God, ask him to forgive you. Turn around. Repent. Change your mind. That's what repent means. Change your mind. And change your ways and speak it, right? Father, we thank you that our children are saved according to your word. Our children are delivered according to your word. We thank you that it is done, and we don't ever want to back up from this, Lord, because our very faith and our spoken words are that substance of the thing that we hope for. And it's not your fault if it doesn't happen. It's our fault, either because we haven't walked righteous before you, or we are not walking righteous before you right now, not in the past, but we're not walking righteous before you at this moment, or we're not believing. We're not speaking what we believe. So we ask you, Father, to have mercy upon us and give us your awesome wisdom, Lord, in Jesus' name.